Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me on today's show is Jessica Gonzalez, Covers Experts Handicapper. You can follow her on Twitter at Gridiron and Wine. Jessica, great to have you on the show.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. This is awesome.
And what we're going to be talking about today is a myriad of things. One, your journey as a capper, your process, maybe some MLB betting tips, as well as some football tips. But I want to start with this because you were the first female handicapper ever on Covers. And I'm curious, how did you first get started in the world of sports betting?
Yes. So I grew up in a household sports. My father is a Dolphins fan, so that's why I'm all fins up. And I have a couple older brothers, you know, so sports was always on TV. I also played sports growing up, played basketball, softball, back, you know, I was all about it. And once I graduated and everything and became a little bit older, I decided to move to Vegas, Sin City, and have a little bit of fun. And while I was there, that's when I started gambling just for fun, just because, you know, it was fun to do. And I like just bet on my teams and everything like that. However, as I progressed, I started becoming more friendly with sports bettors and hanging out with guys who enjoyed sports and enjoyed betting on sports. And that's when I started asking a lot of questions and I started taking it a little bit more seriously. And what do you guys love nothing more than to talk to women with who enjoy sports? So it became beneficial for me in that way. And they kind of thought it was, you know, to a man, I might think it's cute at times, but in reality, I was taking it, you know, for taking it seriously and taking it, you know, I enjoyed it and I started winning and it was awesome, but Vegas got a little too crazy for me. So I had to leave and I came back to San Diego. That's where I grew up and where I'm from. And from there I started, you know, handicapping. And then I came across a business partner through Twitter and we decided to start building models together. And we made an MLB, NBA, NFL, college basketball, college football. And from there, I started, you know, really taking it more seriously and realizing how beneficial it was becoming. And then I started, you know, I had another friend suggest, well, you should announce this on Twitter and, you know, start making a following for yourself. And so I did. And in doing that, I found other women who were doing the same thing, which I found super inspiring. And it was like, hey, you know, girls can do this too. And in a very heavily male dominated industry, I was, you know, able to put myself out there and I'm becoming more successful with it. So that's why I'm loving it.
Love that. So some follow-up questions for you. Number one, what sort of questions were you asking in Vegas to the other sports bettors? And the reason I'm curious about this is I'm someone who has a growth mindset, who's very curious, who's always looking to learn. And the caliber of the questions that you ask will show you the types of answers that you're going to get and how that can work for you. So I'm curious sort of what your mindset was like around the questions you were asking.
Yeah, I mean, for example, like why lines were made the way they were, why fading the public is important, you know, do injuries contribute to line making? So those were like a few that, you know, definitely caught my eye super fast and, you know, and I was just open to their opinion, like what, you know, why they were doing what they were doing, why choose this team? Why is that important? You know, injuries coming into play, you know, do you choose this team just because you enjoy, they're your favorite? Like, why aren't you choosing, you know, you're a Dolphins fan, why aren't you always on the Dolphins, you know, things like that. And basically what's important, what's not, what should I take for granted and what should I really not look at? And that's how I, you know, get their information.
I'm curious, why is fading the public important?
Well, because as much as the public is, you know, it's what everybody wants, in reality, they end up losing. So at least more often than do win.
Well, and that's something that we preach all the time. We like to say, get comfortable being uncomfortable, because everybody wants to bet on the sexy teams putting up lots of runs or points on the board. But then all of a sudden you see these like really gross teams. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm taking this. And it's why we always, at least I always try and default to, all right, well, let's look at what the grossest thing is on the board, because it's a place where there's probably going to be the most amount of value. And I know that Vegas and the sports books aren't just going to give away free money. So if there's a line on something, we're very easy to root for what we want to have happen, as opposed to realizing that there is also another set of outcomes that have an equal probability.
Totally. I agree 100%.
And the next thing I'm curious about is the building model side of things, because I think when I look at even my own sports betting journey, I am not someone who is model driven. I'm someone who, one, I love and consume a lot of sports content, but I believe what I'm actually the best at is knowing what sources to trust to meld in my blended opinion of what I'm seeing and almost confirmation bias. Hey, what is the process for how others are doing it? And so often we see a lot in this industry, the model-based sports betting. And for someone who does not have a background like that, it's hard for me to just be like, hey, tomorrow I'm just going to start building a model, because I don't know anything about that sort of things. So I'm curious how you got into the world of building a model, because I don't think many people do it other than when we see the visibility of people saying, I trust my model.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'll start by saying that, you know, after reading quite a few sports betting books, you know, that's where I really learned to just say, of the biggest thing I took from it is them saying, hey, if you really want to take betting seriously, look into building models. So from there, and I love numbers as well. And when I met my business partner, you know, he was all about it. And I'll be honest, I like numbers. I'm not a mathematician. However, he is a little bit more advanced in that and was like, hey, let me show you. And once we started working together, I realized, you know, wow, this is extremely important. It's beneficial. And it has only made me a better handicapper. And I'll give you an example. For instance, let's talk about the MLB. MLB has some of the highest amount of numbers and stats that you can find all online. And because there's so many games, and, you know, when you put that together, I mean, it's a lot of information, but it's out there everywhere for anybody to look at. So I was able to start to break it down. And, you know, for example, here, let's talk about Valdemar Gutierrez and how in the beginning of the season, the first four starts, he had a 2.74 ERA, and he had an average of 12% win probability in each of those starts as a starter. Over the last six starts, however, though, his ERA has ballooned to a 4.97, and he has a negative 9% win probability for his team. So using his early numbers, one would expect Gutierrez to be a significant advantage. However, as a starting pitcher, he, as the season progressed, he became a negative six disadvantage as a starter for the Reds. So something like that is, you know, very beneficial and for my model to realize what's going on here. And those numbers have proven to, you know, show how basically the numbers don't lie. So with that being said, that has helped me with being able to set up my models and be able to create who's going to win and who's not.
I'm curious
and
in terms.
Where I feel.
Go on.
Go ahead.
I would say I'm.
Oh
curious
no, I was just going to
say in terms of sample size, because we're dealing with early versus now he's all of a sudden not doing as well. And I'll actually keep with the Cincinnati Reds on the flip side. Someone like Luis Castillo, their stud pitcher, started the season terrible. He had like a 7 ERA or something. But you know, if you follow baseball long enough, that these players who have such a pedigree that if they start bad, I mean, Kyle Hendricks was another great example of this year, where they've got this ballooned ERA, they're getting shelled, but then all of a sudden they start to put together, let's call it 30 days of a nice run with a 2.5 ERA. And I'm curious how you sort of deal with the smaller sample size of a given year as opposed to over time.
Yeah, I mean, we use 20 as the beginning of our model. And like, I mean, it as the further as long it goes, the more beneficial the model becomes. So, you know, as much as a player might be doing really good in this, you know, really bad in the beginning, and now they're doing great. It all give or take at the end of the day. You got to just, the numbers don't lie. Numbers, we see how it goes. And, you know, I just take it from there.
I'm curious on first 5-inning betting versus full game betting and what your mindset is around it, because I find oftentimes in talking to people on this podcast, so often it is the first quarter, first half, first 5 innings type lines that people are attracted to because of the things that can happen later in a game. And I'm curious your mindset on this, because I even saw you talking about this on Twitter.
Yeah, because the first 5 is more predictable because the picture of knowing who the pitcher is early on. And it just post on Twitter giving an example of, you know, how my model works and how I was able to, you know, predict the first 5. So I do like that, but I do find the full game to be easier, in my opinion. But we have the bullpens collaborate in the model. So I trust full game because there's less variance, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Love it. I'm curious your thoughts on player props. And this can be either MLB or any sport, because I've found over the course of, let's call it, the last year to 2 years, player props is something that's been extremely intriguing for me, because I feel like I have more of an advantage than I would taking a -1.5 or +/-3 in a football game where it's such a tight line. Whereas if you're saying, hey, Julio Jones over 80.5 yards or DeAndre Ayton over 11 rebounds, I feel like from a me understanding it and there being an edge standpoint, there's a significantly larger pool of options. And therefore I have more of an advantage if I'm just taking the line or the total.
Yeah. I mean, I get where you're from, but I personally don't touch player props because blowouts can change them. And I like betting on the collective of them rather than an individual player who could get injured or another outside factor affect. So that's why I'm not like too big on the whole player. They've never really worked out for me.
Gotcha. All right. I want to double back on something that you talked about, females in the sports betting space. And it's something that I think has been a positive that I've seen over the years, the number of females in sports betting or hosting shows, hosting podcasts, doing capping like you're doing. And I'm curious on your perspective of how you see females in the sports betting industry. What's it like?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I really find it inspiring. And, you know, it is extremely male driven area, not only with the athletes themselves, but, you know, when you go on ESPN and, you know, you're watching any sports TV or anything like that. I mean, it's so male driven. So seeing more females come forward, you know, as well as, like I said, I've been able to come across a lot of other females through Twitter. You know, it's even crazy as being a woman, even on Twitter, to even prove that you are a woman that is like real in this. So it's great to, you know, it's like we have to work a little bit harder, but in all honesty, once you prove yourself and show like you know what you're talking about, you know, it's like that level of respect that you get. And I just think it's great. You know, I even put it this way, like I have a great relationship with my father. However, the best thing we have in common is talking about sports. You know, I can call him and talk about, you know, even just how my day is. And it's kind of like, yeah. But if I start talking about, hey, you know, how about that basketball game, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we can sit there and next thing you know, we're on the phone for 30 minutes easily, you know? So it's just something like that where I know if I can connect with someone like my dad, and now I have two sons of my own, and being able to, you know, show them what it's, you know, this beautiful sport that women are just as educated and we love it just as much. It's you know, it's great. And it makes me feel good.
I love hearing that. And for me, what I love so much about sports betting is the community side of things. That I always say, I'm an entertainment bettor. I'm in for fun. I'm in for chopping it up on social media with each other, for the highs, the lows. I certainly don't win all the time. I certainly don't lose all the time. I just hope to help everyone be a little bit more informed. And that's part of the fun of it, of being able to call your dad or call a friend or jump on Twitter. And we're all watching the same thing and we know what it's like. And for me, I want to continue to see more of it. And I don't really deal with the bottom of the barrel of sports betting, the people who are constantly shooting arrows at us for not winning every single bet that we have. Because for me, it's a very easy indicator that that person doesn't get it. Because anyone who's following anyone of a shred of credibility in the sports betting space knows we have ups and downs. We're going to have times where we could lose 10 bets in a row. We're going to have times where we can hit a plus 3,000 futures bet. And that's part of the ride. And if someone jumps and says you're trash, that immediately says to me they have no belonging in my world.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it's, yeah, just the high, the competition of all, and yeah, the level of respect that it, just exactly what you said. I mean, it's great to have a high, but you know, winning, you're gonna win and you're gonna lose, but you know, those days of winning, it's just like, hell yeah, when you can, you know, relate to all the people around you. And, you know, but you have to realize you can't win them all. But when you do win, it's awesome. And same way, I love to be able to share, you know, I put a lot of work into this. And so when I'm, you know, if I can help other people make money and just live on that high of like, we won, you know, we had a great day today. I mean, it's a great feeling. So I truly enjoy it as well.
Speaking of winning, I'm curious what your process looks like on a day-to-day basis when it comes to being an informed bettor. So you talked about you've got a model here. I'm so process-driven on this podcast because we can give picks all the time, but I want to help people understand how they can fish for themselves. How are we thinking? What does our process look like? What are we doing that other people could duplicate with the knowledge that we have to say, hey, you can do it like us and create your own informed opinions. So what does your process look like?
Yeah. So, you know, I spend every night capping for the next day games. And like I mentioned, there's the, you know, we live in the era where it's just amazing that you can get on your computer and be able to look and, you know, find so much information online so easily. So, you know, going online, checking out different websites, you know, being able to now with podcasts and getting other people's opinion, there's so much information out there now. So being able to do that, on top of that, you know, someone like myself who has models, as well as there's other people out there that have models, those models, you know, they take a lot of time. They take, you know, I'm putting in hours and hours of work of being able to, you know, put all these numbers in, plug everything in, get, you know, on top of that, thinking of my own opinion and look at, you know, just anything that's sticking out to me. And, you know, I do all this the night before to get ready for next day's games. And I have ESPN in the background to see if there's anything that I might be missing, anything, you know, you're going on Twitter as well to be able to just read that, you know, if a pitcher all of a sudden is going to be out for the, you know, out for the game, is there a major, you know, injuries, things like that. So it's so fast paced when you think about it. And then on top of that, when there's overlapping sports going on as well, you know, when there's basketball and then there's the baseball, and now basketball just ended and I have baseball right now. And then here I am gearing up for NFL. Like it's a never ending process. I also like Scott Foster and CP3. And, you know, the best thing you can do is really is at the end of the day is get online, educate yourself, and doing that, you can trust other people like ourselves, you know, who have been doing it for a while and we have a passion for it. And by doing that, you are able to hopefully become a successful bettor.
Yeah. And certainly fade any Suns game with Scott Foster officiating, because that has certainly not been a profitable bet for Chris Paul, has it?
Right. oh yeah.
One thing that you mentioned is NFL. So we are, let's call it a month away from football really getting into high gear. And I'm curious what your preparation looks like for football, because now we are starting to see training camps opening up, and now we're starting to get that itch. We're starting to get preseason guides, fantasy football, college football is coming out. What are you doing to prepare for football that we might be able to learn from?
Yeah, so Warren Sharp is definitely one of my favorite books to get every year. I like to see other people's perspective on the advantage and disadvantage each team has. In addition to that, you know, I'm browsing the internet. I'm grabbing anything that sticks out to me, as well as kind of shying away from things that I don't really care about. I'm also, in all honesty, I'm not an in-depth tape person. So I will, you know, go back and look at a few games here and there to refresh my memory. However, I don't like to watch too much. Honestly, I don't watch too much actual live sports, because then I start to grow a biased opinion, and I like to stay away from that. The numbers do all the talking for me. And on top of that, you know, I keep an ear out looking for potential injuries, you know, for instance, like Cam Akers. I also like to, you know, looking at all of that, basically, I'm just not into many future bets like we had talked about. I maybe do 2-3 max. So that stuff really doesn't affect me as, you know, future bets that I want to make for the upcoming season. Another great website that I like to do is look at Football Reference, because they have a lot of information without the extra fluff. They have the stats that I like to be able to easily put in my Excel model. And yeah, so that's pretty much where I'm at right now as far as getting myself ready for this upcoming season. It's just it's almost like that extra excitingness from, you know, last year. So you kind of got that extra buildup of like, ooh, it's so real again. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting season. That's for sure.
Super exciting. And speaking of Football Reference, if you go to Basketball Reference and look at Wilt Chamberlain's Basketball Reference page, it will blow your mind. I know we're not talking about basketball or Wilt Chamberlain, but seeing him with like 50-point, 30-rebound games and like the things he was doing back in the day, I used to just live within the basketball, baseball, Football Reference world, just gobbling up those different stats. And I love how unbiased you are about this, because one of the things that I try and share is how can we be as unemotional about the bets that we're making or the teams that we're betting on as possible. Because for you, it seems like a team that would be gross or super hot may not be as all over the board for you, because it's a number. It's not necessarily like, oh my God, this is Patrick Mahomes, or oh my God, this is Tim Couch.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. It's interesting to think what they would do in today's era. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Last question for you is around bankroll management. It's something that when I look at what separates the professionals from the amateurs, one thing is certainly bankroll management. I just look at my own friends who will just randomly be like, oh, I'm just going to throw a crap ton of money on the Lakers because of course LeBron's going to smoke the Mavericks. And I'm like, that's your full logic? He's like, yep, I'm going to do it. And all bankroll management goes out the window, doubles down if he loses. And I'm just like, All right. I mean, to each their own, but my goal is to help people be profitable long-term bettors. And I'm unemotional about everything because it's just, at least for me, I'm doing on a just one unit basis or a series of units. So I'm always managing my bankroll so that all of a sudden, if I lose one game, it's not going to cripple me, because I know inevitably a 5 or 7 game losing streak's going to happen. And if you're doubling down on all of those, you can get into a gigantic hole. So I'm curious what your bankroll management looks like or your betting style.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. If there's any person out there that wants to get into the betting world, the number one thing you need to do is you need to figure out your bankroll, because like you said, you can easily just get a high and want to bet on something because you feel it, and then you lose everything, and then you want to keep, and then you start betting more and more and keep trying to fish yourself out of a big hole. So the best thing and a recommendation I can do is, yeah, first off, see how much money you have and that you're willing to honestly lose. If you know, you got to think that first. that you're going to do in a monthly basis. And then from there, decide how much, you know, how much one unit is, two units, three units is important to you. And if you're able to even handle that on a single bet. Now, me personally, with my betting, when it comes to, you know, I like to keep everything around 1 to 1.5 units, especially with baseball, because I like high volume. And that's why I'm okay with if, you know, I go 6-4 on one day where it's like still successful, but, you know, I'm only going to be up maybe just anywhere between one, maybe three units, if that. But then I can go have the next day and it be, you know, 4-6 and be negative something. And it's not, you know, a huge deal for me. When it comes to football or basketball, I do like to do a little bit higher, 1-3, when it comes to betting, because, you know, it's not as much, not as high as volume, not as high, you know, not as many games and plays. So I like to do a little bit higher. And then, other than that, you know, I stick to, like I said, I like to stick to 1-3 basically at the end of the day, because that's how I feel good when it comes to betting.
Jessica, love it. I really enjoyed this conversation. I'm looking forward to jamming with you during the rest of the baseball season, football season, and everything moving forward. Where can everybody connect with you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Gridiron and Wine. And I mean, that's pretty much my main hub where it's easy and quick, and you can find me for any questions, just DM me. And if you want to look into more plays that I post, go to Covers. And then football season's right around the corner here, where you'll find me on Pro Football Network, where I'll be writing weekly articles as well as doing a weekly show. So that's where you'll be able to find me.
And I want to hear from you. I'm curious what your bankroll management looks like. Are you throwing darts? Are you doing 1 units, 1-3 units? Are you in control of this? I just love seeing how people are thinking about this. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The broken belly devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.